I want to switch the scene for just a moment, and I want to talk to those that are not married. How many here are not married? Young people not married. Would you stand up? Stand up. The babies we know are not. Stand up. Thank you so much for being here. I think it's worth me giving them a little bit from the Word of God. You may be seated. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. I do want to say I believe there's hope for families in our day. I don't care how much your family's hurting, I believe there's hope for it. But I believe one of the great hopes is that we train these young people and set some godly guidelines for them in choosing a companion or finding the companion of God's choice, I should say, and starting their marriage right in order that it might be right. So I want to give you 7 or 8 things quickly, and I'm waiting on the pastor to get in. He gets in while I yield his leadership, as I always do. But I will give you these real quickly to the young people. If you're not married and you want to have a good home, I started to preach, and my thoughts was, I just about sidetracked. I thought I could get through that in 10 minutes or so and come on to this other side. But I started to preach this morning on how to keep a good thing a good thing. He that findeth a wife findeth a good thing. Now, if you've ever found a wife, you wouldn't argue about that when you found her. But tragedy of tragedies, a lot of good things. I'm talking about the marriage. Finding a wife turns out to become a bad thing. Preacher, I said to you this morning, I'm not married. Give me some help. What do I do? Let me say to you, first of all, be sure you're saved and surrendered to God's will. You ought not ever think about making a decision about a spouse until you've made the decision for salvation. Fact is, for the boys, there are 3 major decisions in life. Y'all seen these kids look up here at me. They done made more than that. They had a terrible time over at the dorms morning figuring out which shirt they're going to wear. What kind of perfume they're going to put. Anyway. The first major decision is who's going to be your Lord. If you get that right, the other will be not so hard. The second major decision for you boys is what's going to be my labor? It does cost to be married. Somebody asked Dr. R.G. Lee in a moment of wittiness one night, Dr. Lee, is it true two can live as cheap as one? And he said, sure, if one will go hungry, the other will go naked. When I grew up, and I believe it's a Bible principle, you make the Lord the first choice and you get a job and go to work. Then later on, you start thinking about a girl. Nowadays, they get going steady when they're 9. They've got daddy's car running on his credit card gas when they're 16. Or they've got a girl, and a lot of bad things happen. Then they start thinking about, hey, I might need to get a job. She's the number one, who's going to be my Lord? Number two, what's going to be my labor? Number three, then, who's going to be my lover? And that is the Bible order. But make sure you're saved and surrendered to God. Number two, and I just covered it basically, seek God's will for your life and for your companion. Now, I just throw out an age here I'm speaking. Doesn't matter if you do this earlier, but don't do it later. But if you're 12 years old today, you ought to be praying now for your spouse. Not only with them Google eyes, oh God, help me find that girl, but Lord, keep me clean and pure for her and her clean and pure for me. Then you bring us together in your time so there'll be no excess baggage. Number three, keep yourself pure. Keep yourself pure. I don't care if you're engaged to me tomorrow. You're still not married today. And by the way, let me just make this statement. Girls, look at me just a moment. You need to learn this. Men, from the beginning, have been the aggressor. I don't be disrespectful. But if you go with a boy, you go out with a boy. Of course, I'm for courting, not going out anyway. Somebody said, what's the difference between courting and dating? I told you dating is a social game. It's become a sinful game and brought a lot of shame. You say, well, what's the difference? Well, courting's usually done around the house or the church house. You say, well, preacher, we couldn't do nothing at the house. Hey, you're catching on. Not many girls ever got pregnant on the couch when daddy's sitting in the recliner. What do you want to do that you couldn't do in the presence of your daddy or your preacher? A great policy for you to learn is no ring, and I'm talking about wedding ring on your finger, no hands on your body. Girls, it's your responsibility to protect your purity. You say, how do you do it? Girls, look up here just a minute. Hold your hands up like this. I want to see your palms. And I want you to look at them. Look at your hands. There's a little thing that grows up on the end of them fingers. What does she call them? This may be blueism, but I think God put them on there for a purpose. It wasn't that you put paint on them to be make them red. It's if somebody makes the wrong move at you, you get some other red stuff flowing on them. Claw their eyeballs out in Jesus' name. While they're wiping the blood, take your high heel off and smack their teeth out when they swallow a couple of teeth. Then call your daddy and let him finish the job. Keep yourself pure. God give you your purity, your virginity to give to your husband on your wedding night. Not something somebody else has already been with. Number four, don't consider anyone for courtship or if you're going to date for dating that you wouldn't marry. You know what? Well, I'd go out with them, but I wouldn't marry. You know what? You're liable to get in trouble. You can get emotion stirred. You get passion stirred. Number five, don't consider anyone who's already been married. Boys, God made one for you. Girls, God made you for somebody. And don't take somebody else's. Wait for God to give you your own. Number six, don't consider anyone who is not saved. And by the way, don't take his word on a 30-day profession and say, I'll marry him. Then a lot of precious girls hoodwinked with somebody walked down our aisle, made a profession, and then 6 months later you couldn't drag him to church. Make sure they're saved. Number seven. Don't consider anyone who has not your kind of madness. Somebody said, preacher, you believe only Baptists are going to heaven. I don't think most of them are going. But look at me just a moment, kids. Look at me just a moment. You're going to have enough problem in life without bringing a religious spot into your family. If my in-laws were Jehovah's Witnesses, I could never let my children, their grandchildren, spend the night with them. If my mother-in-law was mixed up in Pentecostalism, you think I'd let my kids go to church with her? And by the way, children need their grandparents and grandparents need their grandchildren. You don't need a religious fight in your marriage. You've got enough problem without him having his church and religion and her having her church and religion. And number seven, don't consider anyone who does not meet the approval of your parents and your pastor. Now, I don't believe the pastor's a dictator. I'm telling you what's the truth. If you're right with God and you've got a man of God, I'd caution you, you better be careful entering into a marriage that he's not willing to put his approval on. And kids, look at me just a moment. Hey, I've been there. I've done that. I know what you think. Let me tell you about myself, and then you can see if you fit in the group. I can remember, Brother Pooh, I remember when I used to wonder how in the world such a foolish old daddy had such a wise son. I mean, my daddy just didn't get it. But it was amazing, the older I became, the wiser my father became. And then I come to the place, I look back and I wonder, how in the world could such a wise old man have had such a foolish boy? Now kids, look at me seriously. It just might be mom and daddy might know more than you think they do. And kids, listen to me. It just might be. It just might be. Hey, it just might be now. I'm not saying it's true, but it just might be that they love you more than you think they do. And it just might be they want what's best for you. Then number eight. I think it's number eight, number nine, whatever it is. Don't consider anyone that's not your own kind. I am not a racist. I had nothing to do with the origin of races. God did that. God made every nation after its own blood, one blood. And God made us to reproduce after our own kind. And God separated the nations and the races and the languages. And God will unite them in the future if He wants them to, but it'll not be in time. It'll be in eternity. See, the Bible said in Revelation chapter 5, verse number 9, that they sang a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book and loose the seals, for Thou hast redeemed us out of by Thy blood out of every kindred, tongue, tribe, or people and nations. I don't feel like I'm superior to anybody. But I am what I am. I'm not being vulgar. I can only reproduce what I am. I could not reproduce a Hispanic baby. I could not reproduce a Jewish baby. I could not reproduce a black baby. I can only reproduce after my own kind. God made one for you. Look at this, listen. They tell us that genes can lay dormant for 10 generations. See, young people, when you marry, you're not just, it's not just you marrying him or him marrying her. You're marrying together two families. Grandkids and grandkids and grandkids and grandkids will be affected by your marriage. God gives you children. I've been so shot at for saying this, but I'm going to keep saying it because I'm dodging the bullets as they come. Wrong companions produce wrong children. I mean, listen, I'm not even just talking about interracial. I'm talking about of the same race. There's a lot of men that couldn't marry the same woman of the same kind and produce the right kind of children because God didn't make her for him and him for her. Marry after your own kind. Preacher's not slipped in here, has he? If he does, let me know. I'm waiting on his line. You might need to go see if you can find him real quick before I get me and him both in trouble up here. But kids, be sure you're saved and surrender to God's will. Seek God's will for your life. Keep yourself pure. Don't consider anyone that you would not marry. Don't consider anyone who's already been married. Don't consider anyone who is not saved. Don't consider anyone who's not your kind of Baptist. Don't consider anyone that does not meet your parents' or your pastor's approval. And don't consider anyone that's not your own kind. You say, but preacher, I'm already married. I want to say again, the day you married that person, if you married the wrong person, they became the right person the day you married them. Listen, if I had to get any leadership to do anything else, I'd do it, but I really feel like I'm doing what I need to be doing right now. So let's look at the other side, those who are already married. What can we do to keep a good thing a good thing? Let me say to you, first of all, there are mutual obligations that come with marriage. What I mean by mutual, they're two-way streets. It's his responsibility and her responsibility. It's not all him, it's not all her, it's both. Number one, to love. He's to love her, she's to love him. Love is not a one-way street. Number two is trust. You say, I can't trust him, you shouldn't have married him. Trust. Number three is respect. Number four is honor. Number five is forgive. Don't get so quiet on me. I heard this when I was a young boy. I don't like it. I really don't like what I'm going to say, but I want to say it because I think you'll understand the message. I heard a preacher say, Brother Steve, I had just gotten married. And he asked me the question. We'd been married maybe 6 months. And an older man walked up to me and he said, has the young lady become the old woman yet? Isn't it amazing how quick would you let me say that? I don't like the word. I don't believe Christ ever called the church the old woman. I don't believe he calls her the old hen either. Isn't it amazing how quick we change after we get married in honoring our wives? And then there's that word forgive. I was preaching a wedding down near Atlanta, and I was standing on the stage, and there were two or three steps up to it, and a couple that I was married was standing on the steps. They're in front of me, and they're facing me. I'm facing the congregation. And I was charging them, preaching away, and I came down to this part of forgiveness, and I just stopped, and I called him by name. And I won't call his name now, but I said, sir, I'm going to tell you something. You probably won't believe it today. But you will believe it later. I just let it silence for a minute. I said, this lady you're marrying is not a perfect bride. And I said, ma'am, you won't believe it either today. But this fellow you're marrying is not going to be a perfect husband. You know what got my attention? I'm looking at them, but over their shoulders in the crowd, I see married people doing this. I mean, they're nodding big time. You see, love is blinding, but marriage is an eye-opener. And two imperfect people cannot get along unless they both are willing to forgive each other. Number six, mutual obligation is time. He needs time for her. She needs time for him. You better take time. Somebody said, I don't have time. You keep going that road and it will not be long till you have plenty of time. Time. Number seven is communicate. I always marvel at how courting people can talk. But marriage, like, is a silencer. While they're still in love, courting your girl. My youngest daughter, Rachel, never went on a date. She courted there at the house and church and around and married Andrew. They seemed to have done pretty good, but Andrew was a student at school. School rules got to be in the dorm lots at 11:30. Well, Andrew was here. We don't have anything, good food around here. They got to go get a hamburger or something after school tonight. They go get anything or eat something in the room. Well, I like to eat. You know, at the Blue House, we just got a habit. Man called me yesterday. I started meeting tomorrow night. He said, "Preacher, you want to eat before church or after?" And I said, "Both." So I said to Andrew, I know you like to eat. We like to eat. I know you want to be with Rachel. She wants to be with you. We eat at our house every night after school, after church, whatever it is. So you feel free. You can't bring her home from school, but you feel free to follow her over there and eat with us. And he gladly done that. I mean, growing young boy likes to eat. But he wasn't really just doing it to eat. But he just couldn't tell time. He was clock blinded. So I, being a gracious, polite gentleman that I am, I watched the time for him. And so I said, "Andrew, would you lock the door as you leave, please?" Now, I'm not saying they quit talking when they got married, but it's amazing how things slow down in that manner. So there's a mutual obligation. There's a moral obligation to be honest and faithful and true to each other. And once those are broken, it's terribly hard to regain them. Hey, spouse, husband, wife, if you want to be honored, be honorable. If you want to be trustworthy. Then there's a money obligation to learn to live within your means. The black preacher said, when your outgo exceeds your income, your upkeep becomes your downfall. And I said again, I said the other morning, one of the most damaging things there is to marriage of young couples is to get hooked on credit cards. Well, Steve, can I make you as an example a minute? Would you and Sister Linda stand that? Now, I'm just going to say this modest thing about him. Brother Steve is a builder. He's a businessman. How long y'all been married, Brother Steve? And how old are you, don't mind telling me? I believe you said 60 the other day. Did I hear you say to me yesterday or this week, you have never used a credit card? You don't have a credit card? You can be seated. And I say this respectfully. God's blessed you pretty well financially. Nice home, nice place to live. God's took care of your business through the years. There's a thing called management. Learn to handle your finances. Then there's a mutual obligation. I just say this, and I'm through, preacher. I've been waiting on you to get in here. I preached twice this morning. Never done it before. But when it comes to male and female, God made the difference. When it comes to male and female, God made the desires. When it comes to male and female, God made a demand. He said, for the husband to render due benevolence unto the wife, and the wife unto the husband. And you've got a sick family relationship when sex becomes a leverage for you to get what you want. God made the difference. God made the desire. And God made the demand. He take care of her. She take care of him. Then if you'll follow that up with these three things, family devotions, family dedication, family discipline, where you discipline yourself, daddy, mama discipline herself, you discipline the children together, you can have a good thing and keep it a good thing. Okay, preacher. Extra thing.
We will give invitation. I give invitation in the middle of the message, preacher.